Thank you, everybody, for hurrying. The last item on old business is the Nebraska Information System update. Is there anything new that we need to?
Sure, I'll just brief. We're at this point, Wes Majerus is working with the NIST people, and he is doing a really good job of working through and doing the testing. All the feedback we get from the NIST people is it's wonderful, you're doing a great job. We still have some, and we have pretty major concerns that some fixes that happened earlier maybe don't end up appearing in new versions that come through. What we're doing now is Wes is working rather closely with Bill Brown on actually using the part of the NIST that Bill and Dave are, because they're already using this extensively or completely, and so Wes is coming and working with Bill on what actually our agency needs and, you know, the actual work and not just testing. And so, you know, that's been good. We're still, it's kind of like one step forward and two back continuously, or optimistically two forward and one back. Did anybody else have something to add on a follow-up? Okay, I think I had gotten the full reports from folks about that. So, you know, we feel like, I guess, you know, we're doing everything that we can, and to the extent, if it ends up that they really aren't taking it all seriously, there's only so much we as a commission can do. We're really trying hard to make sure that it is accessible to implement it. But if you get down the road and it goes fully live and it's not, then that'll be the next step for a consumer that wants to work there, or for consumer organizations in conjunction with us, or whatever actions have to be taken at that point. But, you know, in terms of our trying to work with the state of Nebraska and NIST as a potential employer of blind people, I feel like we're doing everything we can. That's my report.
Do we want to combine the e-government right here? It's on new business and it's kind of related, I guess.
Okay, let's see. We're ready actually for, I think we probably won't do that. The next item on the agenda is the official public comment, and, you know, as everybody knows, we have been having comments as we go, and as long as we don't get too long-winded or whatever, we'll continue to do that. Does anybody who isn't a commissioner have anything comment-wise that you want to make at this point? Why? Okay.
Give them lunch and I'll keep them.
Well, back. Really?
They're all taking that.
Okay, I guess at this point we'll move along to new business. The first item of business is the response to issues raised at our August 2nd meeting concerning the business enterprises. And as I mentioned in my report from the chairman, I did attend the meeting of the Committee of Blind Vendors on September 5th. And part of the focus of that meeting had to do with our previous meeting. On the 17th of September, I wrote to Dave Hunt, who is the chairman of the Committee of Blind Vendors, And I said, I want to thank you on behalf of the Board of Commissioners for inviting us to the September 5th meeting of the Committee of Blind Vendors. It was good to begin dialogue concerning the use of Braille and other alternatives of blindness in vending facilities. I'm sorry that one of the circumstances which prompted the invitation concerned your name having been brought up in a negative light at our August 2nd meeting. As I said at your September 5 meeting, I tried to direct the discussion during our August 2nd meeting toward getting answers to procedural questions rather than discussing specific people and or locations. While we commissioners are genuinely trying to be responsive to issues brought before us, it is crucial that we be mindful of those concerned. It is unfortunate that zeal in accomplishing the former caused personal and business repercussions for you. As chairman of the board, I am sorry about our role in that. I appreciate your professional response to our discussion in which your name was mentioned. I believe that the satisfaction survey you have initiated could serve as a model for sites throughout the state. The letters you sought and shared with the committee were excellent endorsements. Your request to come before us in November is welcomed. I have put both that issue and the committee's desire for guidance on the brailing on vending machines on our November 22, 2003 agenda. That meeting will be in Lincoln beginning at 9 o'clock a.m. I look forward to seeing you there. And then signed it as chairman of the board. And I think that it is important for us to continue to dialogue about things and to continue to work together. And at this point, since Dave has asked to come before us, I would ask him to present what he has to present.
Thank you, Barb. Well, I will try to be brief. This came about, I was given a call by Howard Simons after the last meeting, in which, well,
Howard, how would you best describe what you?
I thought it was more or less a Dave bashing.
Certainly when I requested and received tapes of that meeting, a great deal of time appeared to have been spent on me. Now, I will say that the quality of the tapes from that meeting were about the most atrocious tapes I have ever heard. I think you could tie a tin can on each end of a string, one on the moon and one on Uranus, and you would get better sound quality than what was on that set of tapes. It was abhorrent to listen to, and I listened to that for about an hour and a half to hear what especially Mr. Burns and Mr. Orester had to say about me. And the state office building facility which I manage. Mr. Orester, you said that you had received just numerous complaints, more than you could hardly count, about what was going on with my vending stand and how poorly it was being run.
I have received no complaints personally, no.
Well,
not Mr. Orester.
That's not how it sounded on the tape. You were the one that initiated it. You said, as much as you think Dave's a nice guy, there's something going on down there, as I remember you saying. But you received no complaints, and yet you brought this in front of the board. That's been an hour.
I'm not going to be getting an argument about this, but I've received no myself. I'm not down that building enough to receive any complaints. When I go into the building, they don't even know who the heck I am. So.
But I believe
I myself received no complaints. No.
Is that what you heard, Howard, at the meeting?
Well, somebody was complaining. I don't know who, but there's the gentleman that did the speaking for them.
Yes.
He had plenty of complaints that day.
Okay, to clear up the confusion, the complaints were coming to me and to other blind people, and I have told. When people have come to me with complaints, I have told them, why are you coming to me? I said, you need to go tell Dave and the people downstairs. I said, I'm blind, so is Dave. He has plenty good hearing. Don't come to me. I try to get the people to go to you. So well, that's where the complaints came from. That's where Bill heard them from, because they came from me, and I just happened to be discussing it at home.
Okay, for a point of clarification, could you...
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Mary Susan Arrester.
Okay, thank you.
Is that what you needed?
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Now, there is a chain of command in the state office building. If you don't want to go to the person with a complaint, you go to the building director, which is Larry Eastman. Larry has received complaints in the past on other issues. Terry, could you read this letter from Larry Eastman? I asked him how many complaints he had received about me.
Okay. This is dated August 29th, 2003. Dave Hunt, Dave, a few days ago, when you and I spoke, you asked me about whether I had heard any complaints or if anyone else in our department had heard any complaints against your vending area as to your services and or food that was being served. And Dave, I have not, nor to my knowledge, has anyone else in my department. The only thing that we have heard is that the candy machine, that candy machines that are on each floor by the elevators are sometimes not quite kept full. But then you and I have already talked about that issue. And I believe it is taken care of. Should you have any further questions, please call me, Facility Maintenance Manager Larry Eastman.
Terry? And then also on the tape that I listened to, I heard Mr. Burns refer to me as a hapless, incompetent, blind man who perhaps lacks the social skills in dealing with people.
Well, wait. That had to be tape quality because I don't know you personally, and I didn't make that comment about you. I think I remember making a comment that one of the things about the vending program is that we want, you know, blind people to get a chance to make a job, and we also, they're kind of, as all blind people are, they're ambassadors to the world. And so if a person does not have good skills and is operating a vending site, then I said, you know, I'm sure my context was that's not a good thing. But if you thought I was talking about you, then
well,
that's incorrect.
That's certainly how it sounded on the tape. Wouldn't you say, Howard, that's certainly how it sounded at the meeting? I have a letter here from a woman who worked briefly for me. You can bring this, Terry. She's been manager of Valentino's Pizza. She's currently a manager of Subway.
This also dated August 26, 2003. Does this letter inform the board on my knowledge and insight of Dave Hunt? I was an employee for Dave for 6 months. During that time, I learned a lot about Dave and became his friend. Dave is a man of integrity. He has always shown great respect for all people that came to the lower cafeteria. Dave is a very positive and enthusiastic person about everyday life. His main concern at work was, are the customers receiving what they want? Meaning, was the product of a good quality? Is there enough variety? Also, that everyone was being taken care of in a timely manner. I personally know Dave Hunt has gone out of his way to ensure all requests of new and different items were available for customers, such as sugar-free ice cream, special flavored sodas, fresh fruit, and so on. All requests are personally handled by Dave. I believe Dave has raised the standards and turned the cafeteria into a pleasant place to enjoy lunch. I also have also a place where co-workers could relax, de-stress, and visit together. I have been in the hospitality and food industry for 35 years. Dave truly displays a warm sense of hospitality and deep consideration of others. Some might say Dave is handicapped. The fact that he is visually impaired does not stop him from doing anything at work. He is a team player. I am honored to call him friend and enjoy the time that he was my boss. Sincerely, Linda Mack, Subway Management.
Thank you. Also, subsequently to listening to that last meeting, we initiated a survey down in the cafeteria, which we passed out to any customer that came in to see what they thought. And I will quickly go over it's a very short survey, what the questions were and what the totals were of what we had received. The first question was, how often do you purchase meals down there? That I don't have the numbers for that. That's just something we wanted to see how many of the people filled it out did. Second question, how satisfied were you with your purchase? Of the answers, the first answer would be very satisfied, there were 43. Of the somewhat satisfied, there were 15. Dissatisfied, there was one. The third question, how satisfied were you with the service, or excuse me, with the selections? That was probably where we had our lowest point. 25 were very satisfied, 28 were somewhat satisfied, 6 were dissatisfied. Since then, we have added more selections, and that has been doing quite well. The fourth question, were you served in a timely manner? Because one of the things that seemed like on that tape was people thought they weren't being quick enough. 53 said very satisfied, 6 said somewhat satisfied, 0 said dissatisfied. Question 5, how satisfied are you with Dave personally in the running of his site? 56 said very satisfied, 3 said somewhat satisfied, 0 said dissatisfied. The final question, how satisfied are you with Dave's staff? And on that, 52 were very satisfied, 7 were somewhat satisfied, and again, none were dissatisfied. So I wanted to come here today and put to rest what I listened to for an hour and a half of complaints about that state office stand. That if there's some complaints there, they're certainly not coming to me. They're certainly not coming to the building director. And that if somebody doesn't want to come to me, then leave it alone.
Inject here. They weren't going to the staff because they apparently a lot of people in that building have some reluctance to complain to you because you're a blind person. Now they'll come to Mary Susan and complain to her and expect her to come down to complain to you. Well, she's not going to come down and complain to you on their behalf. It's their responsibility. She works in the building, but just because she's blind, she's not a spokesman for Dave. So that you've got to get some mechanism so they come to you, not to other blind employees in the building because they're afraid to talk to you, because they're afraid of hurting your feelings. That's a problem.
I've never heard.
Well, you know, I'm a blind person that works in that building too, and I haven't heard these.
Well, possibly, let me interject. This is Mary Susan again. Possibly, it may be the fact that we're on, it seems like, so that to be specific, the second floor and the third floor seem to be having the most problems with the complaints I get. It's not regarding the lower level cafeteria most of the time. The complaints, for instance, and I drink Diet Right, but I must not be the only one that drinks Diet Right on my floor, because it's been empty for a week and a half, or it won't come down. I don't know which it is. I did go down and tell your staff a couple days ago that it wasn't working, or that it was empty. As of yesterday, it was still empty. And that is the kind of complaint I'm getting from people on our floor. That is just one specific example. On the people that go up the third floor for, you know, drinks, because it seems to be a little cheaper than on our floor, I think. At least that's what someone told me. I don't know. I don't go up to the third floor. They said that some of the pop is in the wrong order. Well, that's nothing I can control. So that's two instances that I know specifically that I'm getting complaints about.
No, that's fascinating. If something's in the wrong order and that gets reported, we straighten that out immediately.
Well, see, right. I know, Hardy.
I don't know how we're going to know this by some kind of osmosis or some kind of
right. My point.
Telepathic contact.
I have tried to get them to go down and tell you, but should, you know, as Bill said, should I be the one to go down and tell you? I don't really think it's my responsibility, just because you and I happen to be blind, that I have to go tell you everything.
I don't know why these people are going to you instead of somebody else. This seems bizarre.
Also, is this the point that you go to the Commission for the Blind and spend an hour and a half at a public meeting on?
I had no control that was going to be on that one.
Well, you're the one that took it to the commissioner, aren't you?
I mentioned the complaints, yes. I didn't mention it specifically to all the commissioners, no.
Well, it was brought up at the commission meeting, and a great deal of time was spent.
Mary Susan?
Yes.
Mary Susan?
Yes.
I'm wondering, why are you getting involved with them at all?
Because as far as the Diet Right goes, I'll drink Diet Right, and it frustrates me to China.
Okay, that's your complaint.
Right.
You take that to Dave.
I did.
Okay, what other people do is none of your business.
That's right, and I told them, I'm not the one to go tell Dave. I told them it's none of my business.
Can you just tell them, I don't want any part of this, I don't have anything to do with that?
Yeah, I have.
Stay out of it.
Okay, Evelyn?
I just had a quick question, just something I wondered about. What kind of training is given to vendors? Now, I'm not saying, most of the vendors I know are very good at their job, but I just wondered what kind of training was provided when you take over the meeting? In management and money, you know, in finances and in product sales.
Well, Terry can speak.
Yeah, Terry can probably speak to that.
Right now, for instance, we have somebody that's OJT and in training for it.
Excuse me, say who you are.
Terry Harris. And primarily, that's the best that we've come to do is that OJT was one of our current vendors. We have a person right now that works with two of our vendors. Actually, that same person is split. It gives them two different management styles. Not everybody has the exact same style. Not everybody has the exact same alternative techniques and so on. So everyone's just a little bit different. So we try to expose them to different styles, and that's what we're doing with the OJT. As far as for training and bookkeeping, we use a pretty simple dome method primarily. Some folks have it on their computer. There's several different ways we do our bookkeeping too. It depends on the individual and the style they choose to use. Some people choose to use a private accountant because they do their taxes and so on. So that's also kind of individualized as well. Did I answer your question?
Certainly there's a testing procedure.
And
like
we
what I went through.
To identify
math skills and things like that.
To identify whether someone has what it takes to become a vendor. We do have a math test that we give them to make sure they have the skills, math skills they need. We also, they spend 3 days going through our center with the center staff, being tested in terms of alternative techniques, travel, and so on.
Dave, again, the spot burns.
Yes.
And again, at no time did I mention your name because I don't know, but I did talk specifically about a site like the state office building, which should be one of the crown jewels of the vending system. And my concern would have been that it seems like that ought to be a good site. And if it's not good, then it needs to be fixed. So, you know, I would ask questions. Your customer survey is very good, and it's, I think, any businessman would want to know that kind of information. I would want to, you know, I'd be curious as to how long have you been at the stand?
2 years.
Excuse me?
2 years.
2 years. And so my questions would be, you know, is our revenues up? And you know, is there a goal going into the year from the system? How much revenues? I mean, everybody that's in business, you know, has increased output performance requirements. It's just part of American business. And so if your revenue is up and profits are up, then those are measurable things, and I think that would testify to, you know, that the things are, you know, at least in the right direction. Whether they can be better or not is another thing, but it is, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but those would be the concerns that I would have in general, that the vending sites ought to be operated as well as possible. And the thing, we didn't have a lot of specific complaints, and we talked to Terry, because our questions was, well, if there are problems, how are they dealt with? And so that was a lot of our conversation, just hypothetical. But your name was cited in specific, and so I could see why you'd be concerned. Another question that came to mind to me, and again, I'm just throwing this out to the vending community because you're head of the vending, that there's a fact out there that people on Social Security disability have earning income limitations. And I'd be very concerned about vendors that have income limitations or they, you know, they lose their health, and, you know, they're, you know, and that's all bad, and we can all be, you know, concerned about that, but I'd have real concern about people with income limitations at vending sites, and I would think that would be something that, you know, maybe you need to have extra vendors at those sites, and I think it'd be a shame, since the vending program kind of supports itself, that sites, any site, not get as much possible income as possible because someone has constrained by earning limitations. They earn too much, it messes up their other issues, and that's a terrible personal concern for them, but I think it's an issue that would be terrible for the system if you have sites that have people that have income limitations placed on them, and then they're not able to get as much as possible out of that particular site.
Well, there are no income limitations put on vendors. Primarily, vendors don't go by the same SGA as most people do, because you can use what are called unincurred business expenses against Social Security, which Terry could probably explain a little bit more on that.
So that puts my mind at ease. So that's really not an issue in the way the system is structured, that people say, can't say, gosh, if I earn another $1,000, I'm going to lose all my Social Security disability. No.
And health insurance would be the most important thing.
Well, health insurance, there is no, you know, other than, well, obviously, right. Medicare, you got health insurance. I'm currently purchasing health insurance because Medicare doesn't pay for anti-rejection drugs.
Right.
Has any of the commission been there to see how this thing is run? I mean, it was stated that he was never there. He was always in the back room with these crony baseball fans.
Do what?
He was in the back room with these crony baseball friends.
In the back room?
At noontime.
That was one of the comments I heard on there, was that I was never at the cash register running it, which I'll assure you I'm there at least 6 hours a day standing at a cash register.
Dave, but we had Terry Harris investigate that, and he put my mind to ease anyway when he said that it was down to observing, and maybe your electronic or talking cash register had gone down. That might was an explanation for maybe that one particular day. He never seemed any problems at all.
By the way, when you're the manager of a stand, I don't think that means you're supposed to stand at the register all day. You have orders to fill. You have orders to put into the vendors for Coke and Pepsi to get. You have payroll to fix. So there's a good deal of time spent in the office doing management. And I think most anybody that's worked any job knows if you're a manager, you don't just stand out there saying hi to them.
There was a specific thing made, and I think it was kind of tough, and I would be interested to see, now you're here to defend yourself, I'd like that during lunch that you're off somewhere, someone else preparing your lunch, and you're sitting down with that while the rest of the business operates itself, I guess. That was brought up, and that's, now that you're here, I would like to hear how you...
Well, there are times I do take lunch, somewhere around 12:30. I've got three other people running it. If it's slow, I go back and take my lunch at that point. I stay there during the lunch rush. Once the lunch rush is over, I take my lunch.
And that's reasonable.
All of my employees take their lunch before I take my lunch.
I think the main concern got down to how to handle complaints in your, what you have to do to handle complaints. Talked about Mary Sue receiving complaints. Well, that's not her job. She works for revenue. And we were wondering how you, what procedure you follow to handle complaints. You have a sign up there that if you're not satisfied with your order, contact me, hold the door to you. Or is there a procedure?
There are signs on that's all the machines that if there's a problem to give us a call. My phone number is on there. We answer all calls that we get. And we do occasionally have somebody say, well, gosh, that such and such hasn't been working for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
But that's the first time we've heard about it.
Well, I know you as a person, you don't want to, if there's a problem, I'm sure you want to know about it yourself.
That's right.
You don't want, just because there are other blind people working in the building, you don't want your complaint against you going to them, because that's not a good advertising ploy. So. And I think what you really have to do is, make absolutely sure that they know where to take their complaints. I think that's what the conversation boiled down to at the end, when we had that meeting, that we just had to summarize for receiving complaints, whether it goes to the office manager or the building manager, they should come directly to you, and if there's a machine for that.
Like one of the people on the tape made the comment, you know, if you go to McDonald's and you get something wrong, you go over to Burger King and tell them about it. I mean, you know, really.
Seriously, I don't like getting.
But they do.
That's a.
Yeah.
My name is Jamie Forbes, Dave. I've honestly never been to the state office building to see your vending machines or anything. But what does the sign exactly say? I mean, why would they be going to Mary Susan in the first place?
The sign is.
That's what we can't figure out.
Yeah, that's what we can't figure out.
Do they know that they're blind, so they assume?
The sign says, if you have any problems with the machine, please call, and it gives my phone.
Yeah, it doesn't say, I am blind, so.
No.
Is someone always there down on the first floor?
All the people in the state office know that he is, know that Harding is, know that I am, know that Evelyn is.
Dave, is someone always there?
No, but he has an answering machine.
We're there till 3 in the afternoon.
Well, shouldn't you make it more personal if you have a complaint, come to me and give us a call on the telephone?
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
Because they probably don't, they may not realize that it's the same setup that possibly, I mean, it seemed to me if I stuck money in a machine and it didn't give me a pop, or I got the wrong kind, and somebody was downstairs, I'd go right downstairs and get my money back.
That's what it says to do.
We have that as well. And on the answer machine, it says if you have problems with the machine, you know, you can come down to the cafeteria anytime between 7 and 3.
And certainly if they run across me and, you know, have a complaint with the machine, I would straighten it out then too.
So it all boils down to people just being.
I guess, you know, one of the things that you know, I can't help but put out into this discussion, guys, is that, you know, any of us who has ever been anywhere where there are other blind people, you know, people are going to assume that because one person is blind and because another person is blind, that we're not only all alike, but that we all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you speak to one of us, you've spoken to us all. You know, I think we need to be reasonable about that. And although we might not like fielding things for someone else or that kind of thing, to some degree, I think what we need to do as blind people is to help each other, not to do things that are going to make any of our jobs more difficult. You know, certainly we can suggest to somebody that they go to talk to whoever. We can also say to the person, you know, is the reason that you're coming to me that I'm a blind person? Because, you know, if it is, I'm not the blind person who is running this whatever. But maybe if you're in the same place, you could maybe offer to go with the person to get to have their complaint registered or that kind of thing. You know, I think it's easier sometimes for us to use personal examples than ones that we just kind of draw out of nowhere. You know, I attend a church where another blind person has recently joined and where there's also someone else who's blind who has attended there for quite a while. And sometimes people will ask me questions about those people. I don't, you know, I know one of them quite well, but I don't know the other one very well at all. And so, you know, part of my responsibility, though, as a blind person, and as somebody that someone does come to, if they do, is to help people to understand. You know, all of our job is educating the public. I mean, no matter what we do, no matter what our job is, no matter where we work, no matter what, part of what our job is to do that. We don't have to like it. But if we want things to improve for all of us, we do need to do some of that. I mean, it just kind of falls to us as part of what happens. And so, you know, my experience working with Dave in connection with vending is when we did that study kind of thing about the Braille on vending machines. And, you know, as I told you guys back then, when I went there, it was certainly well run. And if during the time that we were having a discussion about things, if someone came in and needed something, he excused himself, went and did that thing, and then came back to us. You know, that you know, priority was clear, and you know, the people who were coming and getting things or doing things or whatever that had to do with his job was a priority, and some of the things that he had done to make the thing work for him that might be slightly different from what a sighted person might do to do the same thing, or I thought sound and made sense. And it certainly did surprise me when that issue happened at our last meeting in the way that it did, because, you know, I that hadn't been the way things had seemed to me when we were doing that study. But also, I think while we can get frustrated with the fact that people are going to maybe come to another of us about a situation that doesn't have to do with us, any of us who've lived very long at all have surely had that, you know, that kind of thing happen, because people don't know what to do with us, and so they will do things that will kind of skirt the issue
That's okay on an individual basis. So I have that happen to me all the time. When you're working in a place and you're constantly, people are constantly coming up and say so and so and so and so, expecting you to go down and be the go-between. Well, Mary Sue said many times, well, I'm not going to go down and complain to him. He's my friend. They've got to go down and complain to him.
I mean, it sounds like it's hundreds. Is this daily, Mary Sue, or now and then, or just seems like a lot?
There for a while, it was happening quite frequently. Now it's not happening quite as much.
Well,
but it's still happening.
But it still happens.
He has other employees down there. I would think, I mean, it isn't like he's the only person there. He has several sighted employees. If somebody really freaked out about talking to a blind person, and then I'm another blind person in there. I don't know why these things are magically going to Mary Sue and no one else.
Well, maybe you guys should put her on.
Because I'm in an obvious position. I'm in a front office where people see me all the time. That's probably why.
Well, somehow you just are magically attracting these people. It's
fascinating. Because it's happening a lot on our floor. One of the reasons.
This is Jana Schaefer. I work in the state office building in Redmond.
Well, same place I did.
And Mary Susan sits in an office with that's got an all glass front. And if they're going in there and having trouble with the machine or something's empty, it's very possible they're going through that door and talking to her because they can see where she is, rather than make the trip all the way down two flights of stairs to the basement.
Really, people need to go to the business.
I
not
understand
somebody
that.
In
you
the Department of goddamn revenue.
Well, and
how idiotic is that?
You know, the other thing is since there is a sign on the machine, you know, it seems like that ought to be. And I guess if I were dealing with this, and you know, and we do need to, you know, I don't know exactly what we as commissioners can do about the situation. But one thing I would suggest would be, I know there was a time when I was getting a bunch of calls about something that I really couldn't do anything about, and I got to the point where I would say the number is, and give that number, and that would be it, you know, and just not engage in conversation if that is becoming a problem or is a problem. But I do think that it would be useful to let people know, you know, as you said that you have, that they really need to deal with the business directly, and then say, and you're talking to me is not going to do it, so please call such and such. And then if it seems like it's happening more than once or whatever, if you know the number, you could, you know, maybe call it once in a while and say, okay, this is happening again, so.
What my question is, what is the prudent vendor's position on how often they ought to open their machines and check the inventory? I mean, every time somebody hits the thing and there's no pop, they don't make a sale, that's money out of your pocket.
Well, we check the machines every day.
So you check them every day?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, then
and
what's
if something
wrong with the diet right on my floor? Well, it's been empty for a week.
Then it may have something jammed at the bottom that if we don't get a call, we don't check.
I told you the people down in your floor 3 days ago.
Well, I did not hear about that.
Well, I'm sorry, but I did tell your employee.
Dave, this is Ryan L.
Yes.
I've only been here vending stand once, and the service for me was fine, and I'm not a vendor, but I guess what disturbs me is this notion that people don't want to come to you because you're blind. And you're running the stand, you need to hear these complaints. I wonder if you couldn't take maybe a proactive, maybe you've already done this, write everybody in the office building a letter, or maybe make a point to go talk to people.
Well, Ryan's survey. Ryan, most people that have a problem come down to me. There's not, there's only a, apparently just a few people that don't know how to talk to a white person. That's apparently Mary Susan's not quite blind enough to be scary, but they'll talk to her.
I know the survey was public relations, and I understand, but I'm talking about nipping this issue about the blindness thing in the bud, if that is an issue. I didn't know if you'd take, you know, steps to deal with that or not, or if you felt it was necessary.
It is an issue.
We don't think it is.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you from the floor either, Ryan, but you know, that, I think what Hardy and Dave just said is the thing that I would say. I mean, sometimes we can make something an issue that really isn't, too, and we don't, you know, I can see why they wouldn't want to do that. And you know, if you do positive, proactive things, like I think that the satisfaction survey is, and the letters that he got, one of which was from a former employee, and those kinds of things, you know, really, in the world of human beings, there will always be somebody who isn't going to be happy with what anybody's doing, whether or not that person's doing a good job. And, you know, we know that. You know, we as commissioners get maybe one person who is very, very persistent about something that we either think we've already handled or we didn't, you know, or whatever. I mean, there may be somebody out there whose job, as they see it, is to see to it that we know that somebody doesn't like what we're doing. Some people make it their business to do that. I mean, you know, that's kind of how it is sometimes. And so if the satisfaction survey comes back with those kinds of numbers, and if that's done once in a while and that kind of thing, you know, I don't know. It seems to me as a commissioner that the kinds of things that Dave has done with, you know, getting the letters and getting doing the survey and being proactive, being available, you know, doing that kind of thing, coming before us, not just letting it go and getting upset inside, but coming and being here before us to talk about it, you know, it seems to me like that is commendable. You know, having been in various leadership roles along the way, I could try all day and all night to do a perfect job of something, and it's never going to happen because, you know, we're not perfect. But even when you do your best, somebody's going to do something. And if you cater and do everything in the world to address one specific thing, you can actually throw the balance off of everything you were doing right just for that particular thing. I mean, I don't know. Pearl, you had asked for the floor a while ago.
Yes, I think some of what I was thinking has been expressed since then.
Barbara, this is Mary Susan. Can I have one more?
Sure.
Dave, you just said that you didn't know that I had gone down here. I mean, that you had gotten a complaint about the arthritis. Could it possibly be that your employees aren't telling you when they get a complaint?
Not very often. They may have forgotten it.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, they are aware that they should tell you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, because I honestly think you could come there and tell them.
I wanted to make another statement. If you're down there at work and you're trying to look scary, you aren't doing it very well.
Well, you know, some people are scared to death of blind folks, so. Well, that's all I have.
He scares me.
Yes.
But that's too.
That's a whole other story.
Well, Dave
is
very non-threatening.
You know, I do want to thank you guys for coming and presenting the issues, because, you know, we are a public body and we are responsible to blind people throughout this state. And I do think that it's important for us, when we're talking about an issue, whatever that issue is, that we stick to the issue and that we not, especially when a person, a specific person either hasn't been contacted about the fact that something is going to come up that has to do with him or her, or isn't at the current meeting to deal with it, that we really do need to be not only mindful, but not doing that kind of thing, because we are responsible to everybody in the state who is blind, and what we do or how we deal with things is going to have something to do with what people think they can expect from us in the way of integrity and in the way of making things move forward. And we also need to remember what our role is. You know, we're not an advisory body. We're not the fix-it crew or whatever. And the kinds of things that we are mandated to do have to do with setting policies for the Commission for the Blind. And to the extent that we can make differences or make recommendations concerning training or things like that, you know, those things we hope that we can have some input on from you. The other thing that I think was somewhat confusing was that when we ask for focus topics, and we do that, and we go around from one aspect of the Commission's operation to another, sometimes